stranger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Prince of Peace. We'll start turning, torch start burning, and the old wise men journey from the east. So much joy, son of a carpenter. Let it carry the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. A shepherd on a hillside, while over my flock I bide. On a cold winter night, the band of angels sing. In a dream I heard a voice, fear not, come rejoice. It's the end of the beginning, praise a newborn king. How a little baby boy gave the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, may he carry the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. I saw it with my own eyes, written up in the skies. Why a simple herdsman such as I? Then it came to pass, he was born at last, right below a star that shines on high. I want you, baby boy. Bring the people so much joy, son of a carpenter. May he carry the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. The son of a carpenter, may he carry the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. How are you? Good. Yeah. This group just kept mumbling. Everybody else said Merry Christmas. They just had all kinds of extra things to say. My name is Noel, and I'm one of the pastors here. We just want to welcome you here today. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a journey from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. And we're going to look at how all of this is all about Christmas, because the entire Bible is about Jesus, and there's so much in there about him. So there's passages that were written thousands of years before Jesus was born, and they are about him. There are passages that were written to tell events that would happen thousands of years after Christmas, and they are about him as well. They're all about the struggle that we have with sin and with this world that we live in, and how we long for a hero that we find at Christmas. Tonight we're here to celebrate that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we're going to sing a lot of songs tonight about Christmas that all look back to that event that happened when Jesus came to earth in human form. And so the band's going to be leading us through those, and you can sing along with them. We're also going to be hearing from 20 or so Riverview people joining us via webcam who will be reading scripture with us tonight. And so while they're joining us, we want to encourage you to connect the dots from the words that we're singing to the words that they're reading and think through the Christmas story all together. That's what your responsibility is in this part. And I encourage you to sit down through the first part here and just enjoy this as you sing and listen with us. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing a little bit more. God, we just thank you so much for Christmas. We thank you that you truly did love us so much that you sent your only son. And we thank you for this time that we have during this Christmas season to just stop and to remember how big and huge your love is, how generous you are in giving your son for us, and help us to become people who respond with that same passion and generosity that you have. We pray this all in your son's name. Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And it was so.
And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And it was so.
And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so.
And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so.
And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." And it was so.
And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kind." And it was so.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them.
Took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. But the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die."
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. At the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory streamed from heaven above, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from heaven face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise.
Bleak led when people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and furthermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive. those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child.
So tomorrow morning, millions of people will unwrap millions of presents. There will be Xbox 360s, Xbox Kinect, pillow pets, which, by the way, are both a pillow and a pet. There will be gift cards. There will be Nerf guns, there will be jewelry, there will be impact drivers. I mean, there's going to be tons of gifts, and millions of these gifts will be loved. There'll be kids who will shriek with joy, and moms will say, "Aw," and dads will say, "Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted." There'll be millions of loved gifts. But there will also be millions of gifts tomorrow that are unloved. They'll be the wrong color, they won't fit, they'll just be plain darn ugly. And have you ever gotten a gift from someone and you didn't like it immediately, but they were sitting in front of you and you had to decide how you were going to respond to this person with the gift you didn't like? I mean, there are going to be millions of unloved and loved presents tomorrow. But there's another kind of unloved present, and that is the present that you don't know you got. Have you ever had this happen where under the Christmas tree, there was a gift that kind of got buried in the insanity of Christmas. And hours after all the other presents were wrapped, you found that one that was sitting there. Or worse yet, and this has happened, I won't name any names, but a gift that was purchased months in advance and hidden in the house, and then was never unhidden in time for Christmas. And so that gift wasn't discovered for months after. See, each of these gifts, an undiscovered gift, is still a gift to a person. They just don't realize it's their gift. And it's the responsibility of the giver to give this gift and to make sure it gets into the right person's hands. You know, there are really two types of givers in this world. The first is like me. You can be guaranteed, if I ever buy you a gift, I have spent precisely 10 seconds picking it out for you. I also don't care if you don't like it. And it's quite possible that I won't even remember I gave it to you a week later. So really, we're all set. But my wife is a completely different kind of gift giver. She goes and just thinks through strategically what gift she's going to give to everyone. She makes master lists. She goes from store to store to find exactly the right gift. And she would know if one gift was missing from under the tree. And in that way, my wife is so much more like God than I am. Because God is a giver. There's a passage of scripture that we don't often think of as a Christmas passage, but I want to read it to you because to me, it speaks so much of Christmas. And it's in Ephesians 1, where it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is rich in kindness and grace, and that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered us his kindness on us along with wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. For me, this is why this is a Christmas passage, because it talks of God as a giver, and it also describes pretty much every Christmas I've ever been involved with. Have you ever been in a Christmas holiday and you gather with the family and you're just really praying that this year everyone's going to get along and there's not going to be conflict? And yet it always seems that there's a little bit of conflict or a little hurt feeling here or there. And we're always wishing and hoping for that day when ultimately we'll have perfect peace. Well, God says that day will come in his right time. And in the meantime, all these things are true. Things like he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us to be holy. He has adopted us into his family. It gives him great pleasure to do this. In his rich kindness, he purchased our freedom. He showered his kindness on us. Aren't those phrases very Christmas-like? This is what we celebrate when we get together to celebrate Christmas. It's the beginning of the work of Jesus here on earth when he came in human form and was born as a baby, a helpless little baby like the ones we keep hearing in the room today. Here's the thing, you know, don't allow that to settle in for you when you hear that. And remember that Jesus came as such a child as this, as a baby, and was raised as a human being. And Christmas is our little way of trying to remember that. To remember that God loved us so much that he came down as a baby. You know, I don't know about you, but I wonder what it was like for God that first Christmas. You ever think about things like that, or is it just me? Apparently it's just me. Okay, so think about this for a second. God is the ultimate giver, and he has got the perfect gift picked out. And I wonder if he was giddy on that first Christmas day. I mean, he had the perfect place that he was going to give this gift. He was going to give it in this, what we call a stable, but it wasn't really a stable. It was a carved out cave in a rock wall where these animals would live and these animals would be boarded up. There was a feeding trough in which his son would be placed. And for him, this was perfect. It's how he wanted it. He had the perfect cast picked out, a teenage unwed mother, a steady, probably grizzled, probably much older than her carpenter, a bunch of smelly shepherds. It was perfect. He also had the perfect announcement in place. He was going to place a star above it all and have this army of celestial beings singing about this day. Everything was perfect. And then he waits. God waits to see how the world will respond to his gift. Well, the teenage girl, it says she held this near and dear to her heart. The shepherds, they went kind of nuts and went and told everybody about what they had heard. But there's a character in this story we don't often think about. It's that person who lived in Bethlehem who had no idea what was going on. Think about that person for a second. They hear a commotion outside with some shepherds, and they're like, stupid shepherds. And then they go back to dinner. You know, that maybe they run into this teenage girl and her husband and their little baby buying Pampers or something in the store. And they're like, oh yeah, just another one of those crazy marriages. They had no idea. And that's how Christmas is like for so many people. For millions of us, we celebrate Christmas remembering this gift that God gave, but for millions of us, we don't know. It's like that missing gift. Jesus is the missing gift. And that's why we read through all of those passages earlier, because those passages are about God telling the world that he was going to present this gift. See, way back when he created everything, he planted this beautiful tree called the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. And he said Adam and Eve could freely eat from this tree, but they chose not to. They chose instead to eat from a different tree that he told them not to. And then they lost access to the Tree of Life. And no matter how hard they tried, and no matter how hard any of us try, we can never quite get that back. That's why Christmas is stressful. That's why nothing seems to sit right. That's why the world feels like rebellion and chaos. Because we can't reach out to that Tree of Life. This last weekend, I watched Chronicles of Narnia with my family in 3D. And one of the characters made the statement. He said, "No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do it." And that's what our life feels like. We cannot quite get that Tree of Life. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus stepped out of eternity and into human form so we could identify with him and he could identify with us. And then he lived a sinless life here on earth, not just as an example to us, but much more than that. Because 5 miles away from that little cave in which he was born, Jesus was taken off of a cross and placed into another cave. A cave he only stayed in for 3 days. And that's where the true gift of God was revealed. This Jesus was going to bring us access to that Tree of Life that we all long for so much. That's the gift. And God is the ultimate giver, offering us the Tree of Life. And he gives, and so we respond back to him by becoming givers ourselves. And during this Christmas season, this is where it becomes important for so many of us. I want you to think about this over the next couple days. The responsibility of that lost gift is in the hands of the giver. And yes, God is ultimately the giver, but he has placed it in our hands to be the giver on his behalf. And now in the age in which we live, there's no star hovering over our church building. There's no big army of angelic beings singing. There's no shepherds running around telling everyone, we now have this gift in our hands. And so for those of you who follow Jesus, I want to encourage you, talk about this gift the next couple days. Talk about it with people who know about Jesus and those who don't know about Jesus. Make sure that this gift is presented during the season. Make sure that the Xbox Kinect and the Pillow Pet are not the only gifts that are presented this season. Make sure that Jesus is presented as well over the next couple days. We're also going to be taking a special offering here in a few minutes, and we're going to use that offering as a way that we're going to give a gift. The first $10,000 that we raise today, we're going to give to a church plant in Detroit so that more people down there can hear about this gift that God offers us. For the remainder of that, we're going to finish a building that we've been building over here so that we can tell more kids about Jesus. We're also going to be taking care of people who are in need in our community so that we have an opportunity to tell them about this free gift of Jesus. Today, we're going to celebrate by remembering the generosity of God as he is a giver and being generous ourselves. So we're going to sing a little bit more here, but I'm going to pray first, and the ushers are going to come forward with the buckets and collect this offering that we're going to use as a gift for people in our community. God, we thank you so much for Christmas. We thank you that you are the ultimate gift giver. We confess that we often don't give gifts as well. We often forget about you during this Christmas season and we make it all about the other gifts. And this season, we just want our hearts and focus, our hearts and minds to be focused on you. Help us to respond to your generosity by being givers ourselves, both givers in being generous to our community as well as being givers in telling people about this gift of salvation. We pray this all in your son's name, amen. The ushers are going to come forward with the buckets right now. We want to encourage you to, if you want to use the kiosks in the lobby, anything that's given today will be given to those special projects this year. Thanks.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains.
You are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful triumphant, so come ye, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city of the street. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room. In heaven it makes you sing. In heaven it makes you sing. In heaven, heaven it makes you sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sound of joy, repeat the sound of joy, repeat, repeat the sound of joy. Sins and sorrows grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For us the curse is found, for us the curse is found, for us the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace. It makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love.
A few weeks ago, here we talked about the passage where Paul described Jesus this way. I can't describe him. He is an indescribable gift, says Paul. Well, I think John does a pretty decent job in that passage we just heard read from Revelation, describing what will ultimately happen because of this indescribable gift of Jesus. And that is, each one of us who follow him will be able to be with him, will be able to have access to that tree of life, the leaves of which brings healing to the nations, where there'll be no tears, no crying, no mourning any longer. That is the gift of Jesus that we celebrate during this Christmas season. But to have access to that gift means accepting it from God. So I want to encourage those of you who may not follow Jesus yet. This may all be new to you, this idea. I want to encourage you this Christmas season to find a friend or family member that follows Jesus and to ask them what it means to accept that gift. Because tomorrow, after millions of people unwrap millions of presents, for many, this will still remain an unwrapped present, this gift of salvation that Jesus offers. So I encourage you to talk to your friends and family about that. Also, on your way out the door, we're going to pass you one of these bookmarks for our text project. I know it seems chintzy, but it's our Christmas present to you. It's the best we can do. Let me pray, and then I'll send you out for Christmas. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus. And we just pray that during the next couple days, as we get into all the busyness of Christmas, that we'll stop and take time to thank you for this gift. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. Merry Christmas.